possibly if I put more effort into the advertising of the renting and get it at the right, get my message to the right people. I mean, that's all what marketing is, so that when they need me there, I'm at the top of their mind. I could probably make that happen if it was a priority. But it's just one of those things that, if it works, great. If it doesn't. Right. So I'll tell you one that I missed on. Okay. So monetize your mindset is really about awareness. It's about being aware of the opportunities that are around you and then being prepared to take action when you get that opportunity.
Welcome to Adulting Decrypted, the show where we break down the complex codes of common conundrums into logical living in effort to decrypt the code we call adulting. We are your hosts.
I'm Gene, and I've been at the school for like 10 hours today.
I am Gideon, and that is a lot of hours. Hours.
On that note.
And I am Ashton, and I have decided that from now on I want to do a fun fact. So here you go. Fun fact. McDonald's once made bubblegum flavored broccoli.
That is definitely an interesting fact.
You know what? So, if it tastes like bubblegum, I'm okay.
If bubblegum tastes like broccoli, you're okay, or if broccoli tastes like bubblegum?
If the broccoli tastes like the bubblegum.
Gotcha.
To me, I love broccoli, and I feel like you just leave it the way it is, and it turns out great.
The texture.
I love raw broccoli, all right? I'm not even afraid to say it.
Anyways, with that note, we've got a special guest with us today, Bart Merrill from Monetize Your Mindset.
Woo!
Welcome, Bart.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight. We're really excited to talk through your principles of monetize your mindset. And if you could, Bart, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, that's always a great way for us to start.
Okay, well, I grew up on a pig farm in southern New Mexico. In my town, there was more pigs than people because of us. My high school was 200 students, 7 through 12.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And how many pigs were there?
Yeah.
7 through 12.
7 through 12.
7 through 12, yeah, right?
1,000 probably. So was you the only pig farm in the area, or was there multiple? Okay. Very cool.
After that, I served a church mission in Japan, learned Japanese. So I grew up, I'm almost on the border. I mean, 30 miles more south and I would have been a Mexican.
There you go. Awesome.
And that so close. Seriously, I mean, we're just right there on the border.
Okay, great. And so from that kind of rural lifestyle over to Japan, a little bit of a change?
A little bit of a change because I was also dumped into Sapporo, Japan, which is cold.
Okay.
So I went from warm in the middle of nowhere to cold in the middle of a city. I don't remember what it was, 10 million, something like that.
Wow. Yeah, that would be quite a culture shock. How big again was your high school? 7 to 12?
200 students.
Yeah, 200 students to 10 million people. I'd imagine that's that might have flopped the balance of the pigs to people ratio.
Yeah.
Probably didn't have 10 million pigs on your farm, but anyways, very cool. So you grew up there, and then?
Then when I came back, I decided I wanted to go to Utah State University. I decided, once I got up there and I experienced four seasons, just one season, I decided, I'm going to stick around.
There you go.
And so I kind of stayed here in Utah. My ambition was to get into the FBI.
Okay.
And chase serial killers. That's what I wanted to do. A buddy of mine said, a friend of the family, he said that the easiest way into the FBI was accounting.
Right.
And once you got in, you didn't have to stay in the accounting area. You could apply for jobs and you go to wherever it is you are good at and you can get the job.
Okay.
So that was my whole intention. So I studied accounting, not because I liked it, not because I wanted to be an accountant. I actually was not very good at it. I pay someone a lot of money right now to do my accounting. I don't do it myself. And my last quarter, I took the quarter off and went home to help my dad on the pig farm to improve my Spanish.
Yeah.
And just dad needed some help. And I was down there in the middle of nowhere, earning money, nowhere to spend it. I had friends on the customs that were customs agents, border patrol, cops that were getting this thing called RK surgery done on their eyes. It's a corrective vision before LASIK.
they go in there and they make cuts in your eyeball, and the scar tissue changes the shape of your eye and fixes your vision.
Oh, wow. Pre-LASIK. So this was like...
Pre-LASIK.
Okay.
And so I had money. It was like $1,500 an eye. Was burning a hole in my pocket. I just like, okay, I'm going to get it done. I got it done, got back up to school, started the application process into the FBI, and I found out that that automatically disqualifies you.
No kidding.
You could get it done after you got in, but not before.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
So I was kind of devastated. I was doing my part-time job landscaping, and a buddy of mine just joked. He worked for the bungee jump company up there. And he says, hey, you want to go back to Japan? And I was like, yeah. So the job was just to go help with this bungee tower, help erect it, help train the staff, and stay there and make sure they ran properly for 6 months.
Wow. So you lost, just from an adulting standpoint, you're going through college. You're what, 4.5 years in? Right, and hating accounting, but knowing that your bigger goal is FBI, mm-hmm. come home for one quarter, do this LASIK, or pre-LASIK, realize you just lost your dream, mm-hmm. and now you're being asked, do you want to go run something in Japan? Wow, that's kind of a lot to take in a short period of time.
Yeah, I was devastated. I had no idea what I was going to do.
It wasn't being an accountant.
I just didn't like it. I mean, I'm not a desk job person. I don't know if I'm could be employed. I don't know. Anyway, so I helped with the bungee jump. I contracted with them. It made me like 3 times as much what I was making, plus expenses, plus the opportunity. I went there, and that's where my career started, in just doing what, in monetizing my mindset, being prepared when opportunity comes. And I really got that from my dad, because dad wasn't just a pig farmer.
Okay.
He was an entrepreneur.
Right.
He had part ownership in a dairy farm up in Idaho. You know, so we're talking opposite top and bottom of the country.
Yeah, that's pretty big spread.
Part ownership in a mushroom farm in Fillmore, Utah.
Legal mushrooms or?
Legal mushrooms.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure where we're at on that.
And then he owned part ownership in a produce warehouse that was in Phoenix, Arizona, which it used to be where Diamondback Stadium now stands.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So when Diamondback Stadium wanted to build, Dad made a good chunk of change.
From selling his share of that business.
Mm-hmm. Well, just selling the property and moving the business.
Right. Oh, yeah, because they owned the property. They weren't leasing it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So that's kind of my background. I wrote a book, Monetize Your Mindset. I do a podcast, Monetize Your Mindset. And I help people find their ideal side hustle. I believe no matter if you're a W-2 employee or on your own, you need a side hustle to take advantage of the business deductibles that you can have from taxes.
That's very interesting. So as far as the adulting realm question, right, the reason why I was excited to interview Bart is because this gives us a chance to talk through what are you guys learning about business in junior high school so far in college, and where are some gaps that Bart can help us understand better?
Well, I mean, so far as business goes for me in college, I haven't taken any business classes. So other than that, nothing. You know, music teachers weren't all too worried about it.
It was more about making music, right? Yeah, and enjoying the
Which,
process.
You know, makes sense. Music teacher teaches music.
Fair. What about you guys? What do they teach you in high school about it?
So far, I mean, only time I've really ever talked about it was in financial lit, and that's because we're talking about like insurance, and that's like, oh, yeah, you can't have insurance if you're self-employed. You need to go through some of these other places to get your health insurance. And, well, car insurance, you kind of don't get that from a business anyway. But, I mean, like, that's the only thing I've ever heard about that.
Interesting. What about you, Gideon?
We're talking about, like, just starting a business.
Yeah.
The only thing that I've really had experience with that is in my metals class, which is more of an engineering and manufacturing. So they talk kind of about the different jobs that you could have in there, And then I know with like counselors or whatever, they talk about what you want to do and how college is need for any job or else you're going to die. So
what? Say that one more time. Like, who's going to die?
Whoever doesn't go to college.
Oh, I gotcha.
But yeah, I don't know. That's the part of business. They're like, hey, if you want to do your own thing, you got to go to college. You know?
Interesting. Interesting. So really from a mindset, Bart, we're pretty flexible. I mean, there's a lot for us to learn and to digest. Is this a business?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would describe a business as anything you are putting stuff like into that you want to grow. Like, you're not going to be like, oh, yes, I just bought this hot tub, so now it's a business. Because, I mean, you're putting money into it, but it's not like it's growing and impacting others besides just yourself.
Gotcha. So you're putting money into it and wanting to get some type of return, make some money off of the process, right? Now, if I charge people to sit in my hot tub, would that count?
Yeah, technically, because you technically have a business of using a hot tub.
I like it. Do you think it'd go well? Probably not. It'd kind of be weird if I started putting out flyers. Hey, set my hot tub for half hour and pay me $2. Which is funny, though, because there are hot springs that's the same concept, right?
Yeah.
Very interesting. So Bart, we're kind of a blank slate here a little bit.
My question is, did you raise your hand in class and say, oh, wait, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, they dropped out of college like their first year of college.
Zuckerberg didn't go.
He did.
Musk didn't go.
He didn't finish, but that's where he started, right?
Yeah. I mean, no.
That's when you're supposed to raise your hand and say, hey, wait, teacher.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask a question based off of that. I'm sure you have plenty of opinions. But the more I think about it, the more you realize every year you spend in school, they're pointing you to spending a year more in order to start doing what you want to do. So you spend more years to start what you want to do, and I just was curious what you thought about the funnel.
So as far as schooling goes, I enjoyed going to Utah State. I had a lot of fun. There's sometimes I look at my transcript and I go, I only had two classes, and I got C's? What was I doing?
Having fun.
And so there's a purpose for college. Do you have that purpose? It's like anything you do, even in business, even in speaking, whatever it is you're doing, even in a podcast. You can't just throw a podcast out there and say, okay, we're going to talk about anything.
Right.
Same thing with college. Okay, I'm going to go into general studies and I'm going to graduate in liberal arts just because I want a degree. Now, you got to have a purpose for what that degree is, and then you need to decide, okay, can I get a return on my investment of college? I had a plan that got blown up, but I was going to be able to have a return on my investment, and I still could have if I had chose to be an accountant,
which is really what Gene's definition of a business was, right? He says you put some money in and you're hoping on a return on that investment.
Correct.
And so yes, to your go ahead.
Well, I just want to make it clear, like, any return, it doesn't have to be money in return as well. Like, bartering was a thing a long time ago, and I'd say, yeah, they have a business. They're exchanging goods. So, like, time is also valuable. So, I mean, that could also be an exchange, per se.
Yeah. When you start a business, when you have an idea that you're going to put time, money, heart, because it's going to be your baby. I mean, it's almost a living organism. And if it fails, you're going to be disappointed.
Sure.
You know, I have a buddy of mine. He started a network marketing company, and he used venture capital to get it started. And it was taken over by the venture capital company. And he's just like, I feel like my baby was just stolen from me. Mm. You know, so you're going to be invested emotionally as well.
That's a good point. I think we overlook the stress sometimes associated with it, right? We were having a meeting, Bart, the four of us, with marketing, a good friend of mine that does marketing and social and that kind of stuff. And we went and picked his brain, and he started talking about changing a name. How did that feel?
I had a recoil reaction that I was a little vocal about, but yeah.
Hello. If you're listening to this right now, that means you're currently listening to an episode of Adulting Decrypted. And let me just say thank you. My name's Ashton, one of the hosts of Adulting Decrypted, and I wanted to steal a quick second of your time to do a shameless little plug. If you've listened to our podcast for any sort of time, you know that we talk about a bunch of different stuff all about adulting, because our goal is to help individuals in this task we call adulting. Now, we have just revamped the way that we do this. If you go to adultingdecrypted.com, you can see all of our episodes sorted out by category. We've sorted it into financial, practical, emotional, social, and things just for fun. So, if any of those categories are of particular interest to you right now, you can go onto the website, look through there, and see all of our episodes that correlate with that specific thing. This website's completely free to use. It's just another tool for our listeners to find things that are more important to them now. So, for example, if I was looking at it, I'd scroll through and say, hey, you know what? I want to see what the Adulting Decrypted crew has talked about socially. Well, one of our first episodes, season 1, episode 3, how do I talk to people? That's where we talked about all about how to talk to people. So if that's something you want right now, you can go find that right now. Also in this one, season 3, episode 15, The Power of a Humble Mediator, where we talked to one of my old bosses about his business as a mayor, also as a small theater owner. Some really cool stuff. So if you're looking for a better way to organize through all your self-help podcasts, try adultingdecrypted.com. And enjoy the rest of the episode.
That was me.
Yeah, in my head I'm like, yeah, no, we're not doing that ever.
We all feel the same.
And Dad's like, well, hey, if it helps us get more listens, let's do it. You know, because... But it tells you where if you go out and you if we had investors and they did some studies and said, guys, you have to do that. So your point, Bart, you'd be like, hey, you don't have a choice. This is what you have to do. Right. We're lucky we don't have investors or we're not big enough to have investors yet or whatever the case is on that. Maybe nobody would invest in us. But that's awesome. I think that's a good real life example of what your friend went through.
Right. And even for me, monetize your mindset. When I came upon that name, I thought, oh, this is from God. This is awesome. But the biggest question I have that comes to me is, well, what does monetize your mindset mean? I'm like, what? You don't understand what monetize your mindset is? It's like thinking about making money all the time.
Right. What are some... I'm just super curious now, Bart, since you brought this up. What are some of the things you've done to make money?
So this all comes from my dad and being around my dad and having a dad who encouraged me and helped me. And when I was in high school... Well, actually, it started in grade school. When I was 11 years old, I'm working on the pig farm all summer to earn some money to go buy me my first stereo.
That's a big deal back then, guys.
And it was an all-in-one system. It had a cassette tape over here. You guys know what that is?
Yes.
What did it have on this side?
Was it dual cassette?
Oh, it had a cassette here. What did it have over here? Who can tell me?
Probably. Are you old enough that it had an 8-track?
It had an 8-track over here.
You guys don't know what that is, do you?
I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but I'm not positive. So if you could describe that to us, that'd be the best.
That's kind of undescribable. If you don't know what it is, you're going to have to go Google it. I still have one sitting in my house. It's kind of funny.
It's about the size of a VHS tape, but it goes in sideways and it plays music.
Oh, and you don't know what a VHS
tape is. Bad example.
I know what a VHS tape is.
And you could push, it had like 4 different tracks on it. And so you could push a button and it would switch to a... like 3 songs or 4 songs later or something like that. I forget how it kind of worked. Yeah. Anyway, and then in the middle, I had my tuner. On top, it had the record player. Now, little did I know that I just bought me a liability. Because every time I went to town with mom, I had to buy the new tunes.
You gotta have something to play on that stereo.
That's right.
I know what that's like.
Finally, when I was 15 years old, I just got my driver's license. I turned that liability into an asset. I became a DJ.
Oh, very cool.
And I spun records for dances. The problem is, I'm in Podunk, New Mexico.
Not a lot
Nobody
of dances.
Nobody was hiring. Even the school didn't really have the concept of, really? We do dances for the kids at school after the football games?
Huh.
And so I rented the community center. I hired an off-duty cop for security. Mom and dad took money at the door. I spun records, and I made a killing. After a football game, I'd make $500 or $600 in 4 hours. Having fun, doing something I liked.
And that's the mindset, right? You're into music. You like music. You bought a stereo for you.
Fun.
Right. And then you realize, hey, wait, there might be a bigger purpose here.
Exactly. And I say that this, I mean, this is just from dad. And dad never set me down and told me the birds and the bees of business. It was from his example. So he obviously, from the examples I showed you of what he did, he liked farming stuff.
Right.
Everything he was involved in had to do with farming.
No, that's true. Yeah, because the dairy farm, the pig farm, and the vegetables.
Mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, the mushrooms. Yeah. Very
legal
cool.
Legal mushrooms.
Right. We established
important
that.
Important clarification.
That's really interesting.
And so that was my first business venture. I did that clear up through high school and college. I still remember so getting into the college was tough.
Right.
That one of the cheerleaders' brothers was a DJ in another town, and she kind of had him
doing all the shows.
And his system was crap.
Really?
And we finally got one chance to make this happen. And so I went and bought a couple of more PV stacks. So we had 4 PV stacks going, and we had triple amped, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's been a long time since I've been in the business. And we kind of just dinked around for a while till it got loaded up. And then I got on the mic and I had a business partner at that time. Got on the mic and said, okay, we've just been messing around a little bit, but we're gonna start the rock and roll now, and we're gonna shake you all night long. And we opened up with AC/DC, Shake Me All Night Long.
Oh, that is cool.
And just, you know, pounded it. And we took over. We got the gigs after that.
Wowed the customer, huh?
Uh-huh. There was one that I didn't do. And so back at that time, do you guys know the song Mone Mone by Billy Idol?
Hey, Mone Mone.
Yeah.
It was big back then.
You'd recognize it.
And they would bounce and do this chant.
Whoop, whoop.
And the bouncing would make the whole floor shake. But my system, I mean, we had the top-notch techniques, turntables. And so there was one, like, girls ask, guys dance that I didn't get because his sister was over that dance. And he comes back in after I've been there for several months and does this dance. And they started bouncing on that floor, and his record started skipping.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was so funny. Anyway, that's totally beside the point. Just a fun story. But that was my first venture.
So, if I might ask, monetize your mindset. When I first heard it, I was thinking, like, well, you have something you like, turn it into a self-business. But really, your perspective goes further than that, saying, like, you have anything that you're like, oh, this is a lot of fun. You go, okay, well, then how can I make money and have fun at the same time?
So I ask several questions. What do you like to do? What do you need to do? What are you already doing? Then the big question is, okay, how can I monetize that? So anything I do, I ask, could I monetize that? And I may not do everything because we can't do everything.
Right.
But I at least think it.
About
and
everything.
I may try it.
Gotcha. That's really cool.
And some stuff hits, some stuff doesn't.
Right.
But if I'll give you, we bought a rainbow vacuum. You guys know what the rainbow vacuum is, right?
Is that like one of those robo vacuums?
No, unfortunately, I remember
it. It's a very expensive vacuum. You could buy a car for the price of the vacuum.
Oh.
A used car.
Okay.
Yeah, it cost more than a blazer did, but yeah, go ahead.
But it sucks good. I mean, it just sucks stuff.
And
up.
It sucks to buy it, but go ahead.
And so my thought was,
door-to-door salesman, they used to throw dirt on the floor and show you how good it was.
Sucks enough, it's worth it.
And my wife has some allergy problems, so we thought, hey, let's get it, see if it fixes the allergy problems. We have dogs as well. And so we bought it, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of people that may like to use this that I could rent it out to, because we use it once every 10 days.
Right.
There's 9 other days that I could make $25 a day or something. Hmm. So I did try and do that. It kind of flopped. It didn't. People aren't going to rent my vacuum.
But you tried.
But it was the thought, you know. So okay, if I'm going to buy this, maybe I could recoup some of my costs at $25 a day. Yeah. I used to like snowmobiling. So yeah. When I graduated from college, I started a snowmobile rental company, where we would haul the snowmobiles up atop of Fairview Canyon, and then they would rent them out from there. So they just come in their car.
All right, at Skyline
hop on
Drive.
The sled and right. Go. Yeah.
You kept their cars collateral. Come back, you get right.
I don't like snowmobiling anymore.
Dug enough people out of. That's funny.
People are stupid. I was sitting there one night. It's getting dark. My snowmobiles, they went out on 4 sleds, these 4 ladies, and I was about ready to go call the search and rescue because they hadn't come in. And here they come traipsing in on one sled.
Oh, no.
All 4 of them.
All 4 of them on one sled.
And they took 4.
Oh, no. And they got stuck, and they couldn't get them out. So the next day, in the middle of a blizzard, we had to go find sleds.
Oh, that's awesome, because you have no clue even where they left them, really, right?
Well, and the lady guided us pretty well. I was pretty amazed at how she got us there. But we had to crawl in on our hands and knees. The snow was up to your waist.
Wow.
And so we were crawling probably a quarter of a mile, and I'm getting there, and there is no place for them to go.
So you're like, how did you even, what was the...
Pardon me, lady, but what were you thinking?
Maybe a colorful metaphor in there, maybe not. That's awesome. So those are both kind of, I mean, some interesting, right? Anything else? Renting a vacuum, I think, might be the weirdest one of those ventures. Snowmobiles, people still rent to make money. I guess people rent steam cleaners, right?
Yeah, and possibly if I put more effort into the advertising of the renting and get it at the right, get my message to the right people. I mean, that's all what marketing is, so that when they need me, I'm at the top of their mind. I could probably make that happen if it was a priority, but it's just one of those things that, if it works, great. If it doesn't. Right. So I'll tell you one that I missed on. Okay. So monetize your mindset is really about awareness. It's about being aware of the opportunities that are around you and then being prepared to take action when you get that opportunity. So when I was in Japan, I was hitting golf balls at this thing called F1 Golf. It was a driving range. Okay. It's basically Top Golf before it got to America.
Right. They didn't have games and stuff, did it?
Not as good as Top Golf does.
Right, because I remember going over to Asia for my first time, right, when I was a missionary and seeing the tri-stacked, you know, golf driving ranges, and it was so they could practice, because it's not like here where there's a lot of golf courses and lots of driving
ranges. And then their golf courses are expensive.
Right.
But the ball would come up out of the ground.
Oh, it would?
Yeah, just you hit it, it goes down, picks up another ball, comes up. You can adjust the level of the tee. And you had this card that you would let's say you put $10 on the card, and you put it in the machine, and then you just hit away until the card's empty.
Oh, okay.
And what happens is you hit away pretty. I mean, you're hitting fast because you don't even have to bend down and put the ball on the thing.
Right. They're incentivized.
All of a sudden, your card's going like, I just went through $10, or I just went through $50, I just went through $100.
Right.
Money making machine.
Sure.
I thought, man, I need to take this to America. This will be awesome. But fear got in the way, because we're not talking hundreds of thousands here. We're talking millions of dollars to get this done.
Right.
And I didn't have the belief to do it at that young of an age. You know, number one, could I have got the money together? I probably could have. But could I have made it a success? I didn't want to be on the hook for that money.
Right.
And I missed. Because if I had brought it over here, who knows where I'd be.
Yeah, it could be Top Bart or something. No.
Yeah, Top Bart.
Well, that's awesome. So what about business? Gideon, do you want to be a landscaper?
I don't, no.
But you're out making money. I mean, you have a business with your neighbor friend. Tell us.
Yeah, so I mean, like how it started.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so I started with Gene. Gene was actually doing, was it one or two?
I was originally doing two lawns, and then it became one lawn, then it was two lawns again, then it came back to two lawns when you joined.
So you'd been doing neighbors' lawns already, and you were mowing their lawns or whatever, and I remember being at one of our neighbors' houses and somebody coming up to you mostly and like, hey, do you still do this? And I can't remember how it came up, but I started joining you with mowing the lawns, and we ended up with two neighbors. And I realized that you could make a lot of money doing this pretty fast because it took you an hour to make $25 on a lawn. And so I got with one of my neighbors because Gene got busy and... I got with him, and I was like, hey, I know that you have these two neighbors' lawns or whatever that you mow. Hey, do you want to join me with this? And he said, sure. We got some flyers. We put them out, and now, like, we have six lawns a week. And so each of us are making, like, $250 a month from doing something that's relatively easy. So that's that one.
And it beats the heck out of a $7 or $8, $9 an hour flipping burger job or whatever.
For sure.
Or even for you, Gideon, a job that you can't get yet, right? I mean, exactly. That was what you're running into. You would call up and they'd say, oh, you're how old? Yeah. You're like, I want to work at 13. They'd be like, yeah, he calls back in like 3 years. And you're like, what? this isn't fair.
Yeah.
You know, because and so the reason I say that is I don't think it's always – one of your questions, your three questions were what again?
What do you like to do?
Yep.
What do you need to do?
Yep.
What are you already doing?
Right. So this is maybe a joint of the two. You needed to make money, right? You don't need to make money. I don't charge you money to stay here.
Yeah.
But the need is because you have
all these other things I want to buy.
Right.
All these other wants.
Right. And then you say, okay, here's my wants, here's my needs, and then what are you already doing? Well, you'd already started mowing lawns. Very great. That's cool. Thank you, Gideon, for sharing. I know it's hard to share about.
I have a question for you, Bart.
Okay.
So what if, so this is hypothetical, if I wanted to start something small or whatever, and I wanted to make some money off of it, how long is a reasonable time to work on something before you're like, hey, this isn't working?
Oh, that's a good question. So I call this, you got to know when to say uncle. When is it time to say uncle? Now, as a kid, I don't remember not having a horse. I just grew up and there was always a horse. And my horse's name was George. But he really wasn't my horse. He was a hand-me-down from my brother. My brother bought him as a roping horse. Every time he would throw the rope to catch the cow, George would raise his head up and get in the rope. Not a very good roping horse. He became my horse. Kind of. And so I said, Dad, when is George going to be my horse? And I was 7, I believe. Dad says, well, he is your horse. And I says, no, Dad, when is George going to be my horse? Well, how about when you can put the saddle on by yourself? And we're not talking a little dinky English saddle. We're talking a full-grown roping saddle, Western saddle. It's heavy, heavier than I was probably. Maybe not, because I was pretty fat as a kid. But... it's like, I was excited. I was like, oh my gosh, George could be my horse. So I ran and I got the chair from the kitchen table and George was tied to the back pole in the backyard and put the chair there. I drugged the saddle over and I picked it up onto the chair and then I couldn't get it up. And then I tried and I tried and I tried. Finally, there was a point where I could get it onto the side of him and I would push and he would walk away and I would fall down and he would just like, what are you doing, dude? You know? Finally, 11 years old, 4 or 5 years later, I was able to get it on. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. So I worked on that for 4 or 5 years because it's something that I wanted. Okay. Now let's take this to another level. This was, I don't know, probably 10, 12 years ago. I don't think I was living up here, so it could have been 15 years ago. In the early 2000s, I found out you could play poker online for money. I was like, oh my gosh, I can play poker. I'm going to be a poker player.
Okay.
I read books. I studied. I mean, I read like the Russell Brunson's Bible of Poker. It's like this thick. And I read it. And I was reading all these different poker books. And I was pretty dang good. I played poker 8-10 hours a day.
Wow.
For probably 6 to 8 months. And I was like, man, there's one time in 4 hours, I won $2,500. I came in second in a tournament. I was just like, dang, I'm good. But then you would have these people who are behind this computer doing stupid stuff that just doesn't make sense.
Right. Doesn't follow the logic in the
stream. And you would lose because of luck.
Right.
Their luck. Your bad luck. So in 6 to 8 months, I gave up. It's still a dream in the back of my head, but I don't really pursue it anymore.
Hmm.
So what was the difference there?
I'm confused by your question.
Difference between the horse situation. I tried that for 5 years. I succeeded. I kept it going. Poker, I gave up in 6 months. Now, let me give you some reasons why I gave up. Okay? I did the math on 8 to 10 hours a day, 6 to 8 months. I think I was positive $500. I think it turned into like 29 cents an hour.
Oof.
I thought, that's not a good return on my investment. Okay, but why did I give up so soon, though? Versus when I was a kid, I continued for 5 years trying to get that saddle on that horse.
One thing that I would think about would be, you can feel like you're getting closer. Like, with the horse, you can, like, see, like, oh, I'm this far. I'm almost there. I just got to do it this little bit. And you knew what you needed to work on. But, like, in poker, you're like, I'm only getting this much, and I'm not getting anywhere in it. Like, I'm not going up or down at all, and I don't see how I'm going to move forward, so I'm not going to move forward.
Okay, that's a good idea.
The thing that comes to mind for me is, well, because of the nature of the beast of poker, it's gambling, and it comes down to luck. And so whereas with, at least from my perspective, when it comes to the horse, all those years you were working on something that you had complete control over, sans maybe the horse walking away on you.
No, you just tie them tighter.
Right. But with poker, it just, there's a lot of dumb luck involved. Especially on the computer, there's an algorithm involved. So that would be my impression, perhaps.
Okay. So let me just give you my impression on it. My philosophy is, as a kid, I saw my dad saddle my horse every day, or anytime I was going, or my brother. I'd seen it done. I just knew I needed to grow, get stronger, and it would happen eventually. Now with poker, I did see myself grow, and I was pretty good, and there is luck involved, but there's also philosophy,
strategy,
psychology, knowing what he's thinking. Then there's statistics, knowing, okay, I got this. What are my chances? So was it really reasonable for me to think that I could learn all that in 6 to 8 months?
I wouldn't think so. I think there's a lot more to it behind the psychology and the, yeah.
Especially the statistics part. That's a numbers thing. I mean, now we're back to accounting.
We just established
like that anyway.
And so when do you say uncle on a thing? And it's going to depend on how much do you want it. I wanted that horse bad. I mean, that's one of the driving factors. how bad you want it. Are you giving yourself a reasonable amount of time to learn what it is that you need to do? And then what is the potential? You know, is it a potential to make 29 cents an hour?
Or is it to get a $2,000 horse?
You know,
I don't know how much a horse costs, but
it depends on the horse, but one George, that throws its head in the rope probably isn't a $2,000 horse.
But to an 11-year-old kid, a couple $100 horse is an expensive horse, right?
Right. And so what is your potential and timing? Let's look if it's let's take a restaurant, for example. It's a lot of money to start a restaurant. Would it have been a good idea to start a restaurant when COVID started?
No.
Your potential is down, and so not a good timing thing. Or let's say there's a big, you know, Cafe Rio started, and then there started this big Tex-Mex boom. You had, what was it, Bajio Grill,
yep.
Costa Vida, all these grill type things coming up. If you were at this start of the peak, the little wave going up, maybe it's a good idea to start something like that. Mm-hmm. But then if you're already up here, I mean, what happened to Bajio Grill? It went from five or six restaurants to one.
Right.
They might have waited too late to get in on that wave.
Probably not a good thing to open up a snow cone stand up at the ski resort, right? Same kind of.
There's a lot of things that you got to think about whenever you're doing this and learning how much time. How are you going to throw good money after bad?
So my question is then direct correlation to poker being that you hadn't given yourself enough time, or you just decided it was no longer worth the effort that you're putting into it, or for yourself personally in that situation.
So it's still, I still enjoy poker. I don't play online anymore. Well, so there's a lot of things. So politics got into that and they shut down the ability to, the ease of money flowing into these accounts. I still have several $100 in this poker account that if I go try and get it, it says go see the FBI about it.
And you're like,
that's okay.
The FBI didn't want me last time. Why do they want me now?
Exactly.
Don't they remember I had eye surgery? Hey, Gideon, did that answer your question?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, there's so many variables, it's hard to point at just one thing and say, this is what you need to do.
See, and I think that's where we have to follow our gut, right? So I've started multiple businesses, and this is one of those businesses that we're going, how much more time do we spend? I mean, we're going to keep podcasting. Let's be candid about that, right? We like this environment. We like doing it. So we're not going, hey, when do we have to monetize it, you know, to be successful? We need to figure out some of the other parts of it, right, to be successful. But I've started a lot of other businesses that I'm like, okay, this one's starting to tell off. Either I've lost interest or the market shifted. A big one for me was COVID, right? I had just quit my day job and launched into go be my own entrepreneur. I left in 2019 and my first client landed on the start of 2020. I had a great client. I had two or three more in the pipeline. And then the COVID happened mid-March. By 1st of April, I lost everybody. So I had to look around and go, okay, do I double down and stay in pure consulting, or do I look for other opportunities to add revenue stream and opportunities? And that's what I did. That's why I still had the business, but I didn't focus on it. I focused on the day job so that I could keep the income flowing, because I'm a fortunate enough entrepreneur that I've done mainstream as well as my own. Is it the best plan? I don't know. I think we talked about it one time, Ashton, about when do you give up your A plan, or is there such thing as a B plan, or is your A plan your main plan, and then you add other parts of it? Like, hey, I need to go work at the company that I'm employed at for a time, and then, you know, at a company, or, and still work on the B plan, or work on my A plan. You know, I don't.
And so I've never had an A plan. I've never done the real job thing.
Right.
Not, like I said, not out of choice. It was out of happenstance.
Right.
But I've always been able to survive by paying attention to my opportunities. Mm. Now, for someone who is in the A plan and starting a side hustle, my advice to them is you need to be making at least as much as your A plan in your side thing for 6 months before you give up your A plan and go full bore on your side hustle. So that's my advice.
No, it's a good strategy. And I mean, it makes sure that you have the stick-to-itness, you know, that you like the plan, and that you're willing to give it the extra effort that it's going to require. Because then once it becomes a full time, there's a pressure change that is hard to explain unless you've been through it.
You have to keep it going.
Right.
Or you don't eat. And then also you have to look at the situation. I mean, you have kids that are dependent on you.
Only for 3 more years. No, I'm just kidding, Gideon. Might be 4.
But in
the way you're making money, I might not be at all. Anyways, yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Bart.
In my situation, I was young. I wasn't married. And so I was forced into this lifestyle. And by the time I got married, I had my thing going.
Right.
And so I just was in this place where I never had a real job. Don't know if I want one, except at Christmas time when everybody's going to parties that...
Company parties?
Companies are paying for.
Hey, we had company parties, right, when I was self-employed?
Yeah.
We'd go to Christmas dinner as a family and call it a company party and then go do something fun afterwards. And I
guess that's the bonus. You're actually going to a Christmas party with people you like versus people you don't like.
Or may not know.
Who said I like them, Bart? I just have to live with them.
I think I just wanted to point this out. This is about something I've been thinking about as we've been talking. Is just, I think how overlooked for me personally, monetizing things that you're already doing, you know, can be. Because I was thinking about it. Because there's things that I want to do. Like I work on audio, and so I'm like, you know what? I'll offer those services to people through freelance sites like Fiverr and friends. Like I've had a couple gigs come up where they're like, oh, can you record me, edit this, put it together, make it sound nice? I was like, I'd love to. But it made me start thinking, like, what other things am I doing already? Perhaps not in the audio music field that, you know, I might be able to go up to someone and say, you know what, I can do this.
Right.
It's an interesting perspective that I think I've overlooked.
One lady that I worked with, she drove for Uber as well. So at the end of her work, she had to drive all the way back, you know, 30 miles down south here. She'd turn on the Uber app and drive 2 or 3 people home.
Yeah.
On her way home from work to pick up some extra money. It doesn't mean that it's solely your gig, right? She doesn't own Uber, but she has another way to monetize something that's already happening in her life. And I think that's the shift you're talking about,
yeah,
Ashton.
Probably the purest form of what am I already doing? Because, yeah, she's probably not like, I want to become a full-time taxi driver for Uber. But it's like, I'm already driving home. I might as well
see if I can offset some of this cost and maybe earn a little bit at the same time. So I think
and I had the same experience with an Uber driver that I got in her car. She was a nurse up at U of U Hospital.
Well, now you know where I work. I'm a doctor up there. Oh, okay. No, I'm just kidding.
And you're a girl.
And she lived in Payson.
No, she worked there with me. That's part of the story. Oh. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah, so she lived in Payson.
And that's what she did on the way home. But look at the benefits. Number one, she made an extra $500 a week probably.
Wow.
She got to use the carpool lane.
Ah, hadn't thought of that.
And it got her home probably about the same time.
Right. And she provided a service to somebody that made her, I mean, she probably enjoyed your conversation and, you know, I think it'd be fun.
It's just, people don't think, I also think people overlook, what do you need to do? You know, for me, for what we do, we need to learn a lot of things. SEO, marketing, social media. We're learning this stuff for ourselves. Why don't we help someone else that needs that and get paid for what you learned for yourself?
I like it. Bart, this has been very helpful for us as a group. Did we have anything else we wanted to ask Bart about monetizing our mindset and helping become adults? I think the biggest takeaway for me is similar to Ashton's, where you're saying, hey, if your paycheck's running out before your bills are at the end of the month when you're young, there's a lot of different ways now, even more so than ever before, I think, to make extra money. Right. There's a way to drive. You can drive food. You can walk food. You know, in busy cities, you can donate blood. I know that's something that everybody goes, oh, I don't know, or plasma. You know, would I do that? But there's a lot of opportunities, and sometimes it's just being there's Fiverr. You know, that wasn't around. You know, there's all these revenue streams that you can look at and take a chance on. So that would be my thing is, as you're becoming an adult, realize that there's a lot of opportunities out there. And even if your plan is to get a day job, to look through that and make sure that you understand how you're going to monetize your mindset in that realm. So,
and I 100% agree. The biggest point of monetize your mindset is just don't overlook opportunities. And with that, I have to tell a story.
Perfect.
It's called Acres of Pig Poop.
Oh.
Okay. Have you guys heard of Acres of Diamonds?
No.
So it's a story. It's a real story about a guy named Ali Hafed. He was a Persian farmer. He sold his farm and he went in search of diamonds. He died broke, alone in a foreign land. He never found his riches.
Hmm.
The farmer of his farm that he used to own was watering his camel in a brook that ran through the property, and he saw this rock that was different. He picked it up, looked at it. Huh, this is different. Turns out it was a raw diamond. He found literally acres of diamonds of what was in Ali Hafed's backyard.
Oh, jeez.
Now, I told you I grew up on a pig farm. We had a lot of pigs. You asked me how many pigs were on our farm. At any one time, we probably had 20,000 pigs.
Wow.
We had 2,000 sows. And a sow can have a litter 2.5 times a year. We averaged 9.975 pigs per litter. And so if you pull out the accounting side of me and you do the math, you know, 2,000 sows, 2.5 times 9.975, whatever it is. That's a lot of pig poop.
Right.
A lot of pig
poop. Carry the one, add the zero. Oh, it's a lot of pig poop.
We had
a crap ton, literally.
We had a crap ton. We had these three man-made ponds that Dad would divert the stuff into every year. One year, he'd go over here, let it settle. He'd go to the next one and the next one, and we just rotated that. Now, when Dad was in his mid-60s, he decided it was time to shut down the pig operation and go in search of his next acres of diamonds. At 81, he died, not broke, but he was never found his next riches. About 2 years after he died, we sold the pig farm for $235,000. That was a fair price for the property at the time. About 6 months later, after that purchase, the new owner of the farm was leveling those man-made ponds. They'd been dry on top for years. But the heavy grader, as it was grading across the middle of that pond, broke through the crust and sunk up to its belly in this black muck. They called in some experts to have a look, and right there on the spot, the people that come to analyze the stuff, the experts, offered them $2,000 a ton for the stuff.
Wow.
That's a dollar a pound for old pig poop. The farm that we sold for $235,000 was now worth over $1 million.
Wow.
500 tons of old pig poop was acres of diamonds right under my dad's nose.
That's crazy.
So, are you guys overlooking stuff? Stuff that's right there within your grass, right in your backyard, or right there under your nose? I mean, that's what it's about, awareness of the opportunities that are around you and being willing to take action to turn those into a stream of income.
I love it. That's fantastic. Well, Bart, we appreciate your time. We're good?
Yeah, I think, well, since we're closing up, we're reaching the end of our time. I just wanted to say, like, for our listeners, if they wanted to hear more of what you talk about, where can they find you, your book, all that sort of stuff? Maybe just give yourself a plug.
Is Monetize Your Mindset. It's on Amazon or at bartmerrill.com. And that's M-E-R-R-E-L-L, like the boot. Not related. Wish I was. And so bartmerrill.com, I'm on all social channels. Well, maybe not all, but I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram under Bart Merrill. If you search Google Monetize Your Mindset, I come up because nobody else is there.
That's awesome.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Adult and Decrypted. We really enjoyed having this week's conversation, and we hope you did as well.
If you ever want to comment on a topic, you can send us a message to our website, adultingdecrypted.com, our email, adultingdecrypted@gmail.com, or through our Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn accounts at adultingdecrypted.
If you have any topics for the show that you would like us to talk about, or if you are a parent and want us to talk about something your kid should know, send us a message on any of the accounts mentioned. If you'd like to be a guest or have an idea for someone you think we should have on our show, feel free to send us an email detailing your thoughts to adultingdecrypted@gmail.com. Adulting is teamwork.
We have merch. If you want to show off your Adulting Decrypted pride, check out our website, adultingdecrypted.com, or our partner website with shop.spreadshirt.com/adulting-decrypted. Lastly, if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on our Patreon at Adulting Decrypted. Along with the benefits that come with our Patreon, and trust us, there are some pretty good ones in there, you will not only be helping us continue in the effort to make great content, but you will be part of a community of individuals all trying their best to adult. We appreciate you listening, enjoying, and leaving your positive reviews. Now, the special song from Gene and Gideon.
Like an adult.
Hey!
Like an adult. Getting money from things I already do.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Adult and Decrypted. We really enjoyed having this week's conversation, and we hope you did as well.
If you ever want to comment on a topic, you can send us a message to our website, adultingdecrypted.com, our email, adultingdecrypted@gmail.com, or through our Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn accounts at adultingdecrypted.
If you have any topics for the show that you would like us to talk about, or if you are a parent and want us to talk about something your kid should know, send us a message on any of the accounts mentioned. If you'd like to be a guest or have an idea for someone you think we should have on our show, feel free to send us an email detailing your thoughts to adultingdecrypted@gmail.com. Adulting is teamwork.
We have merch. If you want to show off your Adulting Decrypted pride, check out our website, adultingdecrypted.com, or our partner website with shop.spreadshirt.com/adulting-decrypted. Lastly, if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on our Patreon at Adulting Decrypted. Along with the benefits that come with our Patreon, and trust us, there are some pretty good ones in there, you will not only be helping us continue in the effort to make great content, but you will be part of a community of individuals all trying their best to adult. We appreciate you listening, enjoying, and leaving your positive reviews. Now, the special song from Gene and Gideon.